SpaceX is forced to scrub today's historic launch. The families of two missing U.S. balloonists get closure. And Continental will appeal a French court's verdict. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 7th, 2010. SpaceX may still make history this week, but not today. The planned launch of the second Falcon 9 rocket, which will carry the private sector Dragon spacecraft into orbit, was scrubbed after inspection of the second stage nozzle assembly indicated a possible fracture or other compromise. If replacement is necessary, we're looking at Friday at the earliest. If it can be repaired, maybe sooner. ANN's Jim Campbell plans to cover the launch live, so we'll keep you posted. The bodies of Richard Abruzzo and Carol Reimer Davis have been recovered off the coast of Italy, according to a port official with a Vieste port in Italy. The gondola of the balloon, which apparently went down during a thunderstorm while competing in the Gordon Bennett gas balloon race, became entangled in the net of a fishing vessel deep underwater. The bodies were discovered inside the gondola. MSNBC reports that documents found in the gondola confirm the identities. Gordon Bennett race director Don Cameron told the BBC, quote, "It is very sad news, but it was, of course, expected," unquote. The investigation into the ditching continues. A French judge has ruled that Continental Airlines and one of its mechanics are to blame for a titanium wear strip that fell off a DC-10 onto the runway at Charles de Gaulle International Airport near Paris and punctured a tire on a Concorde supersonic airliner in July of 2000. That Concorde, being operated as Air France Flight 4590, caught fire and crashed into a hotel, killing 100 passengers, 9 crew members, and 4 people on the ground. The New York Times reports the court ordered Continental to pay $1.3 million in civil damages to Air France and $265,000 in fines. The mechanic responsible for maintenance of the DC-10, who was judged to have erred by fabricating a wear strip from titanium instead of aluminum, was fined $2,650 and given a 15-month suspended prison sentence. The court acquitted 3 other people involved in the design and certification of the DC-10. Air France, which was not accused of any wrongdoing, despite questions about the flight's weight and balance and landing gear alignment, has paid out $150 million to families of the victims and had been seeking $20 million from Continental. The court did not allow testimony in the case from witnesses who said the plane was on fire before it hit the metal strip that fell off Continental's DC-10. Continental is calling the ruling absurd and says it will appeal. In a commentary, Bloomberg's Heather Smith reports many safety advocates, including aviation consultant and former NTSB member John Golia, say the criminal prosecutions will stop witnesses in future cases from coming forth. In Golia's words, quote, "Everyone clams up. It makes an additional burden on the investigators to try and ferret out the facts. If you think even remotely that you're going to be charged criminally with something, why would you say anything?" Unquote. Up next on ANN, the U.S. military can't get enough of its UAVs. Production of F-22 parts is winding down. And Embry-Riddle opens up some opportunities for helicopter students. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 7th. I'm Paul Plagg. The obvious benefits of UAVs in combat theaters is creating a demand that's outstripping early plans. The U.S. Army deployed a new unit in June called Quick Reaction Capability 1 Replacement 1 to fly its own new UAS based on the same platform as the Air Force's Predator because it needed more support in Iraq. The unit is attached to the Enhanced Combat Aviation Brigade, 1st Infantry Division, which is an all-in-one aviation brigade from Fort Riley, Kansas. The MQ-1C Gray Eagle will eventually be procured in quantities adequate to supply all Army aviation brigades in the next few years. For now, 2 units have logged 7,000 accident-free hours and 350 missions, returned 16,000 surveillance images, and achieved a system's operational readiness rate of about 93%, according to unit reports. The Navy announced on Friday the award of two fixed-price contracts to Boeing Frontier Systems and Lockheed Martin for cargo unmanned aircraft system services for $29.9 million and $45.8 million, respectively. The cargo UAS services contract is in support of Marine Corps forces in Operation Enduring Freedom to augment ground and air logistics operations, supplement rotary wing assets, and reduce warfighters' exposure to improved explosive devices in theater. Regarding the two contracts, Rear Admiral Bill Shannon, Program Executive Officer for Unmanned Aviation and Strike Weapons, explains, quote, "By evaluating two different systems, we have the ability to accelerate development of technology and use it immediately to support the warfighter while maintaining competition," unquote. Both contracts include development of two air vehicles, three remote ground control stations, and a quick reaction assessment. The systems will be government-owned and contractor-operated. Each contract also includes a separate fixed-price option for a six-month deployment. Boeing says it will provide two A-160T Hummingbird unmanned vehicles, three ground stations, spares, training, and support. The Lockheed Martin system has not been specified. They'll still be flying for years to come, but production of F-22 parts is winding down. Aerojet reports it has shipped the last of the plane's forward booms to Boeing in Seattle. The structural component provides wing, engine, and horizontal tail attach points to carry much of the F-22 aft fuselage load. Using a process called EB welding, Aerojet joins numerous titanium components together into a single monolithic structure meeting precise tolerances to reduce the need for fasteners, reduce weight, simplify assembly, and lower cost. The reduction in fasteners also means fewer openings for possible fuel leaks. The shipment completes the 10th of a lot of procurement that has spanned 17 years in support of the Boeing Lockheed Martin U.S. Air Force team. A new agreement signed by Papillon Grand Canyon Helicopters, Universal Helicopters, and the Prescott campus of Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University will open summer internships for helicopter flight specialty students and potential future flight positions for graduates. University President John P. Johnson says the agreement provides for recruiting and interviewing of current qualified students by Papillon to fill paid ground crew positions during the busy summer months. Upon successful completion of all their helicopter ratings, students may qualify for consideration as flight instructors at Universal, the exclusive provider of helicopter training for the Prescott Campus Helicopter Degree Program. Flight instructors can work toward earning the 1,000 flight hours needed to be considered for employment as a pilot by Papillon after graduation. Universal has its Prescott operation at the Embry-Riddle flight line. The program is expected to begin accepting applications for internships for summer 2011. There was no mention of the program on the Embry-Riddle website as of our deadline, so use the contact link from erau.edu. Still ahead, the National Aviation Hall of Fame has the Help Wanted sign out. The Middle East economy now runs on more than just oil. And sharing your nude airport scans might soon be a crime. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 7th. I'm Paul Platt. The National Aviation Hall of Fame has launched a nationwide search for an executive director. Alan Howler, chairman of the Hall's Board of Trustees, explained, quote, "We're looking for a proven leader. The individual we select will be instrumental in helping us fulfill several near-term objectives in the areas of education, development, and visibility," unquote. Howler adds that candidates should have outstanding managerial and communication skills, a solid familiarity with fundraising, good contacts within the aviation and aerospace communities, and a highly successful track record. As the industry awaits sure signs of an economic turnaround in progress, analyst Brian Foley cautions that those who believe the market for biz jets in the Middle East depends on the oil business may be stuck in an obsolete paradigm. Quote, 30 years ago that may have been the case. Certainly oil still plays a role, but today its influence is much less direct. Just look at the investment and financial front, the need to work with partners in Europe, Asia, and the Americas. That alone requires a well-developed business aviation fleet and infrastructure, unquote. Foley says his contacts point to the fact that Dubai has virtually no oil, and that even in oil-rich states, many jets are owned by individuals and corporations engaged in banking, real estate, construction, consumer goods, and transportation. Foley sees conditions improving, with smart operators snapping up late-model pre-owned aircraft at prices 30% lower in this buyer's market. Flight activity is also up. NASA is looking for ways to preserve the space shuttle program's history and inspire the next generation. So beginning Wednesday, NASA is offering 7,000 shuttle heat shield tiles to schools and universities that want to share technology and a piece of space history with their students. The lightweight tiles protect the shuttles from extreme temperatures when they re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. Schools can get details and request a tile by visiting nasa.gov/shuttle and following the instructions. And finally today, lost amid all the arguments about the possible privacy violations made possible by TSA's new full-body imaging scanners at U.S. airports, is a minor detail. Apparently, there's no specific law prohibiting the distribution of the images. TSA likes to promote the idea that the technology doesn't allow the images to leave the room or even be stored. But following revelations that TSA's own bid specs for the machines required a diagnostic mode, which does do all that, for some reason travelers don't instinctively trust the TSA. And so, New York Senator and publicity enthusiast Charles Schumer has proposed a new federal law which would punish anyone misusing the images with fines up to $100,000 and or up to a year in jail. He tells the Associated Press, quote, anyone who would try to use these images for purposes other than security should be severely punished, unquote. You know, it's hard to imagine there aren't already pornography or other laws that cover this. Then again, Schumer is famous for what at times appears to be pandering simply to attract media attention. ANN has been unable to confirm a report that Schumer has willed his body to science, specifically to include the use of his bones as divining rods to look for lost cameras and microphones. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we step back 3 years to get reaction from some industry notables getting their first look at the Cessna Skycatcher. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.